Waiting. It could be pretty uncomfortable, don't you think? Because waiting means to stay in a place of expectation. And expectation can be good. It can be exciting. It can kind of move us along through life. But waiting can be a difficult experience when expectations are not met. And it was uncomfortable just now as you were waiting, wasn't it? Because you had an expectation. You've been to these kind of things before, and you know, momentary silence is okay. But when it becomes 5 seconds, and then 10 seconds, you think, uh-oh. Because maybe, what were you thinking during those few minutes of silence? You were thinking something's wrong. Somebody missed their cue. Somebody's made a mistake. And that's because an event like this carries with it an implied promise, doesn't it? You have a right to an expectation, and when that expectation is not fulfilled, it's uncomfortable. Because what were you feeling as the seconds were dragging by? A little anxious, a bit nervous, even a kind of a tightness in your stomach? We don't like to wait. And it's hard to stay in a place of expectation. Waiting. Think about that uncomfortable silence. Think about your anxious feelings. Think about the tension as it grew in the room. And this is just something small, isn't it? Because we made a promise to you when we invited you to this service, a promise that we would be prepared and we would be thoughtful and we would be organized. And for a few seconds, for about 30 seconds, it seemed like maybe that promise wasn't going to be fulfilled. Just a small promise in a very brief period of waiting. But even that can create tension and anxiety and doubt. Waiting. But what if the promise wasn't small? What if the promise was big? What if it was the biggest promise ever made? What if this promise was so huge that millions of people throughout history had staked their very lives and their eternal destiny on its fulfillment? Well, that's a different kind of promise, isn't it? And that kind of promise puts things in a different light. And what if the time span wasn't short? What if somebody told you something great, in fact, the greatest event ever, is about to happen? Just wait. Well, how long would you expect to wait? How long could you stay in that place of expectation? Longer than that 30 seconds? Longer than an hour or a day or a week or a year? Longer than your lifetime? Longer than the lifetime of your children's 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 children? It's hard to conceive of that kind of waiting, isn't it? It's hard to take that little bit of anxiety we felt over a simple promise made and extrapolate it out to this huge, eternal promise being delayed for thousands of years. It's hard to do that. And yet, that's what Christmas Eve is all about. It's about waiting. It's about expectation. It's about a promise long delayed. A promise made at mankind's darkest hour, when we fell through our first parents into the slavery of sin. A promise made when all seemed lost, that a day was coming when a Redeemer would come and rescue us from that captivity. Waiting. Generation after generation after generation looked in expectation to the fulfillment of that promise. And we could even say that expectation evolved. Expectation grew. Expectation became longing, and longing became yearning, It turned into a spiritual desire that could only be compared to our most desperate physical needs. It would cause the psalmist to write, "Oh God, you are my God. I seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you." And it would cause the prophet to proclaim, "As for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation." Waiting to really see the wonder of Christmas, we have to stay, even for just a moment, in that place of expectation. So, Adria, would you come and sing for us? Can you hear the sense of awe and astonishment in the songs that we're singing tonight? The long night of waiting was coming to an end that first Christmas Eve, and the dawn of hope and wonder was breaking forth. How do we capture that sense of wonder for ourselves? We're not in the historical context of those who were actually present on that night, and for many of us, his story is very familiar, so the emotional impact is quite different. And yet, I think that God would have us walk out of this room tonight with a renewed sense of wonder, a deeper appreciation, and even astonishment at the reality that Christmas represents, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And I'll tell you something that does that for me as I consider the biblical account, is that God, in his infinite yet unusual wisdom, chose to bring the dramatic, magnificent, heavenly announcement of this event to a group of shepherds. We probably all have people we can relate to in the Christmas story, and for me, it's these guys. You know, I kind of imagine them to be like first century security guards. You know, they're at work, they're outside, it's late at night, and they're guarding their stuff. And we don't get any clue, really, from the biblical account what their state of mind is on that evening. We don't know how the centuries of waiting had impacted them. It could be that they were hopeful and passionate followers of God who had maintained their faith through these difficult circumstances. Or it could be the other extreme. It could be that God's promise of a coming Redeemer seemed so remote and unlikely that they didn't even think about it anymore. It just didn't seem to have any relevance to their daily shepherd life. And I would imagine that among us tonight, we have people at both ends of that spectrum and at every point in between. Some of you are tracking with me and you're enjoying the worship and you're marveling at God's work in history and you're rejoicing in his faithfulness. And others of you are simply here out of some family or cultural tradition or even obligation. And you can't comprehend any relevance between this story and your circumstances. Well, for some reason, I picture the shepherds in that group, in this second group. And that's not in the Bible, that's just my opinion. But I see them out in the fields, guarding their flocks by night, as Brian just read, as Luke tells us, their senses dulled to spiritual things through the long wait and unfulfilled promises and the daily grind. Then, bam! Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them. The radiance of the Lord's glory showed around them. And as you can imagine, as the Bible tells us, they were terrified. I mean, way more terrified than we were when Brian came up here. We were terrified, but it was a different kind of terrified. I mean, nothing remotely close to this had ever happened to them before. In fact, it had rarely happened to anybody before. And then the announcement of the angel, the words that would signal the beginning of a new era. Many years later, The Apostle Paul would write, in the fullness of time, when everything was just right, God sent his son, born of a woman. The answer to that promise that had come to Adam and Eve way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The biggest promise ever made was being fulfilled on this very night. And these men were among the very first to hear about it. The angel announced it this way, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, Messiah the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You know, and I can imagine that with the sight of that angel and with the words of that announcement, a tremendous weight was lifted from their shoulders. And the layers of doubt and frustration and anxiety melted away, replaced by an absolute flood of joy and wonder. God's promises were true. God would redeem his people. The anointed one had come. Imagine the vindication of hope. Imagine this incomparable culmination of spiritual fulfillment. And I imagine that these shepherds were quite shocked and surprised and even humbled. And I love to read about their reaction. As Brian read to us, they hurried from their fields to Bethlehem. I don't know if they carried a little lamb on their shoulder, like this guy. They're conscientious shepherds, maybe they did. But they looked through that crowded village. They looked from place to place until they found the sign promised by the angel. The angel said they would find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And then they began telling anyone who would listen what the angel had said about this child. And Mary heard what they had to say, and it says that Mary pondered these words in her heart. And eventually, the Bible tells us, worshiping and praising God, they returned to their fields completely changed, as you can imagine, completely changed by this event, surprised and transformed. The Redeemer was here. They'd gone from waiting to wonder. And I think God could do that same thing in our hearts tonight. I think he could renew for us that sense of wonder in the Christmas story. I think this is especially true if you are one of those who in the past have had little or no confidence in God's ability to fulfill his promises. Because maybe this is the Christmas that God is catching you by surprise. You're doing your normal thing. You're celebrating the holiday. You're listening to this story. And yet, you sense in your heart that this year something is different. Before it was just a tradition, but now you have this growing realization that there's a lot more to this than you thought. It's not the actual appearance of an angel or a physical bright light, but it's more like an internal, spiritual illumination. And that's how it was for me. Maybe that's why I relate so much to the shepherds. A longtime churchgoer, familiar with all the Bible stories, but then one day, seemingly out of nowhere, it all came alive. I suddenly realized that Jesus had come for me, that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And maybe that's right where you are tonight. Are you for the first time thinking, hey, the words of these songs are true. This is all real. I am one of those lost in sin, separated from God. And what a miracle that God would meet my need by sending his son. If God in his grace is bringing that realization to your mind tonight, then I encourage you, respond like the shepherds did. I mean, what did they do after they heard this announcement from the angel? They went to find Jesus. They responded in faith to the message of the angel. They believed, running into town, looking all around until they found that baby. And then they responded with joy, telling everyone who would listen to them what the angel had said. And finally, they responded with gratitude, the Bible says, glorifying and praising God. Faith and joy and gratitude. That's how people react when they capture the true wonder of Christmas. You know, if that's where you are tonight, if this is all new to you, that God is opening your heart and your mind to understand the wonder of Christmas tonight, I encourage you, talk to one of us after the service. Better yet, talk to the person who invited you to this service tonight. You know, I think something else that can help us make that emotional connection besides identifying ourselves with someone in the story, I think something that can help us is putting things into a contemporary context. And I saw a video a few weeks ago that does that for the Christmas story. I'm pretty hesitant to show videos because sometimes I think they can be a little bit simplistic or maybe they're not really biblically accurate, but I thought this was worth showing because I think it treats the Bible in a respectful way. And yet, it's in a contemporary way that helps us identify with the story. So I wanted to share that video with you. We're going to watch that together right now, and then Jeff is going to come up afterwards and close out our service by leading us in a song. So let's watch this together.